Tonight, I'm going to continue teaching on the topic of what? Private worship. And what I want to talk about tonight is worship optional or is it necessary? Is it optional or is it necessary? Living a life of private worship is not only the most enjoyable way to live, but it's also one of the most powerful ways to change your life. If Vivian was talking about 2017, if you want to change your life in 2018, all of us have things we want to improve upon. There's not a person in the world that can look at God in the face and say, God, I'm perfect. You can't do that. We all have room for improvement. Amen? Private worship is one way to make certain that you achieve that goal. Worship, in my opinion, has changed the level of faith that is in me. Amen. And I attribute to you the time that I've been spending with God. When I'm facing something, I know I can reflect back and go, I've been spending time with him. Amen. I know how he operates. I know he's a man that he cannot lie. He's exalted his word above his own name. Glory be to God. So when I see those problems, I don't go, oh, well, man, here we go again. No, just keep on going. Keep on going. Private worship, again, has literally changed the level of my faith. Worship isn't something that you just simply add to a prayer request, but get this, it precedes all answered prayer. If you have your Bibles, go over to Colossians chapter 2. And here's what I would suggest after we read this verse, that your faith is not complete without private worship. It says, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, as ye have been taught, abounding therein in what? In faith. Abounding therein in faith with what? Thanksgiving. If you want your faith to abound, take a scripture like that and begin to worship God around it. Begin to tell God you are declaring that in 2018, your faith is abounding, and begin to give him praise. Amen? Amen. What that verse tells me is no thanksgiving, you're not abounding. You're not abounding. You're not abounding in faith. Mm-hmm. So let me ask the question again. Is private worship necessary? My answer would be absolutely it is. But see, I've never was taught that in my Sunday school class. I've never was taught that in some of the classes that I've taken as a born-again child of God. I was never told that private worship was that important to my faith. Mm-hmm. Private worship touches every part of your life. Your physical body, your physical life, your emotional life, and your spiritual life. Likewise, a lack of faith affects you in negative ways. How many remember what Psalms 8:2 says? Psalm 8:2 declares that perfected praise steals the enemy. Conversely, if we don't praise, what do you think the enemy is doing in your life? And you got a lot of enemies. Sickness, disease, fear, poverty, anger, insecurity, embarrassment. You got a lot of enemies. Amen. And if you're not spending time with God, those things are trying to, in Romans chapter 8, it says, there is there no condemnation. Mm-hmm. What that verse means is there's no condemning sentence that can be carried out against you. Mm-hmm. Poverty can't be carried out against you. Lack cannot be carried out against you. Death by some damnable disease cannot be carried out against you. As a child of God, when you're ready to go home, you should say, Father, I'm ready to go home and pick out the time and be in heaven at that time. Glory to God. That's how I want to go. I don't want to go holding on to life, hanging on. I want to go. I want to come into heaven with the boldness, with a grand entrance. Amen. And I want to come into heaven giving God praise. The Bible says to come into his courts with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. So I'm sure God would appreciate that very much. Private worship will affect the devil, and it will also change you. But your worship doesn't change God. But God enjoys and he also inhabits your praise, especially, now get this, in the midst of some harsh circumstances. Amen. Anybody going through a harsh circumstance tonight? I was going through some harsh circumstances when this afternoon when I was cooking and it wasn't coming out right. But I didn't, wouldn't bother me. I can just give God praise. Amen. See, if you learn to live a life like this, you won't have any high highs and low lows. You'll just go right on through this thing. It's like that phone ringing. That ain't bothering me. I ain't moved by that phone. Let it ring. It'll be on the recording, but I can't help that. Why? Because I've been spending time with him, and that cannot distract me. Amen. And when you begin to spend time with God, those things won't distract you. Amen. You won't be, oh, I don't know, why can't it be? No. The Bible says that we would have tribulations. Yeah. We're going to have testing and trials. James said it this way, count it all joy. Amen. The church has got to realize that God never got you born again, or you never got born again, and God promised you you would never have another test or trial in your life. That's not what he promised you. Everybody in this room would agree that it's a good thing to praise God. But few in this room feel the responsibility to praise God. Now get this, especially when they don't feel like it. Oh, don't shout me down now. I'm starting to wind up now. I'm winding up. This is my inning. I don't know anybody that wakes up in the morning and plans on being depressed or defeated. We would all rather be happy and worship God out of our happiness. Wouldn't you do that? But the enemy has made other plans for you. And if he gets his way, you will never feel like worshiping God. You'll have test and trial after test and trial after test and trial, and you'll be going, when is all this going to end? It's going to end when you stop it. It's going to end when you begin to worship God in the midst of it and steal your enemy. Amen. Most people, when you start going through a test and a trial, you feel helpless. You feel like you prayed and God's not hearing. You feel like you prayed and the disease is getting worse. You feel like you praised and the debt's getting bigger. You feel like nothing, God's not listening to you. That's because the enemy is working on your emotions. And he'll work on your emotions and work on your emotions and work on your emotions. Until what? Until you go, well, okay, God, never mind. I guess we'll decide to go another route. That's not what God has planned for you. Amen. That's not faith. Look at what Jesus told his disciples the night of his crucifixion. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't the very night, but it was the previous night, I think it was. But look at John 14:1. Now look what Jesus said to these boys. He had been with them 3.5 years. They had prayed and miracles happened and things, healings took place. And he said these words, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Now the phrase, let not your heart be troubled. Do you realize that was a command, not a suggestion? Mm-hmm. He was telling them to do something. But let me ask you a question. How do you let not your heart be troubled? He further commanded them to believe in him and believe in the Father. In essence, to believe is to do what? It's to trust. Yet most Christians today would think that Jesus was being insensitive and unreasonable. They would say that Jesus wasn't being understanding and he wasn't compassionate. If I came to you and you're going through a huge test and trial and I said, let your heart not be troubled, you know what you would tell me? Pastor, you don't realize what I'm going through. Yes, I do. I'm going through something too. Amen. I'm just not letting my heart be troubled. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, you're reflecting now on your troubles now, huh? See, you reflect. See, you want to go worship God right now, but now you're reflecting on your troubles. And when you get to that place, you ought to throw your hands up and say, Father, I just give you praise. Amen. When people talk about you, when they slander your name, don't try to find out how you're going to get back at it. Just throw your hands up and say, Father, I give you praise. I worship you. I magnify your name. I worship your name. I honor your name. Now, the church world, the churchy world, you know what they'll tell you? You're just being spiritual. But God will tell you, you're stealing your enemies. You're stealing, not stealing, you're stealing your enemies. Jesus' disciples were about to see him arrested, and in turn they would flee in fear for their very lives. They would see him beaten and whipped to the point that most men would have died. On top of all this, Jesus would be unjustly condemned and then crucified and buried. And yet he was telling them not to let their hearts be troubled. Pastor, I'm on the verge of bankruptcy. Let not your heart be troubled. Amen. Pastor, I have this incurable disease in my body. Doctor said I could die. Let not your heart be troubled. Amen. Come on, somebody. Let not your heart be troubled. The only thing the disciples could see was him leaving and abandoning them. But Jesus assured them that they would not be left orphanos. He assured them that he would send them a comforter. In this is why they should have rejoiced. That's the reason they should have rejoiced. Jesus ended his discourse to his disciples that evening. Go over to John 16, verse 13. Now, he done told them, let not your heart be troubled. Keep that in mind. Now, watch what he says in John 16, 33. Can you pull it up for me? Did I not give that to you, brother? I did. Okay, no. You're doing good. You're doing a fantastic job back there. He says, but these things I have spoken unto you, that in ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. No, he didn't go there. He didn't say you might have. He said you shall have. Amen. He didn't promise you a rose garden. No, he didn't. But he did promise you that you would reign in life through Christ Jesus. Amen. That's what he promised you. Right. But he said you will have tribulation. But here's why you rejoice. Be of good cheer. Give me praise because I have overcome the world. You're going to have tribulations. Yes. You're going to have testings and trials. But he has overcome all of them. Amen. There's not one disease that you have to put up with. Because why? He bore them in his own body on the cross. Amen. Every one of them was poured out on him. Poverty, sickness, disease. All of it was poured out on him. Amen. May I also add, the flu was poured out on him. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching real good. You may be suffering from the flu. Every time those symptoms come to me, see, when I get around y'all, man, when I get around, I shouldn't say y'all, but when I get around people, man, those symptoms come on strong. Do you know why? Because that spirit is prevalent. And when you go into a crowd like that, you got to realize they're there to do what? To put that on you. But they can't put it on you unless you allow them to put it on you. So I walk in and I go, I give you praise for the day. When you poured all my sins, sicknesses, and diseases, including the flu, on Jesus at the cross. Amen. And I'm established in that. Amen. So yeah, I might come out going, but I go, oh, no, you don't. Uh-huh. No. He bore it. There's no condemning sentence that can be carried out against Amen. Me. You get out of my way. You back off of me. And I begin to give him praise. What am I doing? I'm stealing, not stealing. I'm stealing, S-T-I-L-L-I-N-G. I'm stealing the enemy. Amen. Now, you may come to me and say, well, Pastor Craig, last week I gave God some praise, and the devil still ran all over me. It's because you're not established in this yet. You're doing it because you heard somebody say that. You got to do it because it's in your heart, and you're convicted to do Amen. It. See, I'll wake up in the morning. Well, I'll do that. I remember last night, I just went to go to bed and couldn't sleep. Know what I did? I just began to give him praise about an hour. Just worship him. Just praise him. Does the devil fight you in those times? Oh, yeah. Your mind tries to wonder. Your mind tries to tell you all kind of stuff you should be doing. But don't worry. Just push right on through that. Just bring your mind back to the altar. Bring your mind back to him. and continue to give him praise. Because eventually, your mind's going to get, it's going to wear out. It's going to give up, and it's just going to sit there and later and go, okay, this is what you want to do. And anything you expose yourself to the most, that's what you become. At the time Jesus said that, he had not been crucified. He much less resurrected and seated at the right hand of the Father. It was because of their faith in what he had already told and taught them that the disciples were supposed to rejoice. Mm-hmm. Even though they knew he was going to die, they knew he was going to be raised from the dead. He had told them that. That was why they were going to rejoice. Now, why do we rejoice? He's already risen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why we rejoice. He's already bore the work for us. There's nothing for us to do. Next week, we're going to talk about grace and faith and how that great exchange, God has given you everything, but you got to learn how to walk in that and practice that. He had promised that he would be resurrected and then he would reign, and if they were in faith, they would have rejoiced. They would have rejoiced with him, but they didn't. So let me ask you a question. Why aren't you rejoicing? Maybe you don't believe what he did was for you. Think about that. Not trying to convict you today. Not trying to condemn you. But I want you to think about that. Let's talk about your spiritual pulse. Let's get after this thing. We all know we live in a negative world. We live in a fallen world. It seems that the ungodly are getting more and more prominent. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. This year, you're going to see persecution like you've never seen before. And I pray it drives you straight to your knees. I pray it drives you straight to your worship closet. Amen. In this country. If somebody in this room were to pass out or get sick, what's the very first thing we'll do? We'll check their pulse to see how their heart, to make sure it's still beating. In the same sense, checking our praise lives is how we check our spiritual pulse. Mm-hmm. See, when you come to me and you're saying, Pastor, it's all falling apart. I can't get a hold of it. It's out of control. It's just going to hell in a handbasket, Pastor. What am I going to do? You know what I'm going to tell you? You know what I'm going to tell you? Go find you a private place. Throw up your hands and begin to give him praise. Why? That's a sure indication you haven't been spending time in his presence. Amen. You've been spending time in the presence of the prophet. You've been spending time in the presence of the enemy. Mm-hmm. You didn't intend to do it, mm-hmm. but you just didn't worship God so you could be in his presence. So when that thing came, you could reflect, man, I've been spending time with God. I've been in his presence. Amen. I know he's never lied to me. He's not a man that he can lie.
That's right.
So he's going to bail me out of this. I don't know how. He ain't told me how, but I can promise you, I got a promise. He's going to bail me out of this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If we don't live lives that are constantly and consistently giving thanksgiving and praise to God, we're not going to be spiritually healthy. Some people may take offense to that. Some of you in here may take offense to that. When you hear this recording, some may take offense to that, thinking, I just don't know your situations. But look what Philippians 4:4 says. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I didn't add that. Look what the verse says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Tell me this. What does always mean in the Greek?
Always.
Always? So let me ask you a question. Does that mean the good, does that include the good times?
Yes, sir.
Will that include the bad times?
Yes, sir.
Now, so Paul knew you might question that. So here's what he said after that. And again. Oh, he's messing with your mind, man. He ain't playing with this thing. He said, again. Again, I say unto you, rejoice. You know why I can preach to 15 or 20 like I can to 100? Because I can rejoice. Because I rejoice. I rejoice. I'm not moved by how big the crowd is. I could care less. That's his job. My job is to spend time with him.
Amen.
And come out and speak what he's told me to speak. I get excited when I start working on these messages. I'm going, I can't wait. I just can't wait. I want to find somebody I can preach to, but I can't find anybody. So I just preach to myself, and I just keep preaching to myself until I get so happy. I'm going, I can't wait to preach this. Glory to God. So it doesn't matter to me if there's 100 or if there's 5. You're going to still get the same load. You're going to get everything I got. Amen. Again, Paul didn't say it once, but he said it twice. Yeah. He wanted to make sure that he didn't make an exception, that he didn't make a mistake when he said, again, I say unto you, rejoice. Mm-hmm. And remember, this was a commandment, not a suggestion. Mm-hmm. One of the most fascinating scriptures regarding worship and praise can be found in Acts chapter 16, verse 22 to 26. These verses just amaze me when I read them now that I've been spending time with God. Let's read what they said. And the multitude rose up together against Paul, the people that Paul was preaching to, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to be beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. Isn't that what the devil's trying to do to you with the flu? He's trying to cast you into prison. Amen. Trying to immobilize you. Trying to make you sit down and quit worshiping God. Quit going to Dominion Training Center on Thursday night. He don't want you to come because it's too cold. You're too sick. You're too weak. You're too worn out. They're trying to immobilize you. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Verse 24, please. Who, having received such a charge, thrust him into the inner prison. In other words, he took him into the dungeon. He put him into a place where they wasn't coming out. They were not going to escape. They had layers upon layers upon layers upon layers. That's what that means. And having received such a charge, he thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. So they put them in jail, and they put their feet in stocks. They chained them down, man. You ain't going nowhere, Jack. Gonna treat you like a real criminal. Now watch this. And at midnight, how many are going through a midnight moment? How many have had some midnight moments? How many have experienced some this week? But at midnight, the darkest time of the day, Paul and Silas not only prayed, but they sang praises unto God. So loud. Now they're in the inner prison. So loud that the prisoners in the prison heard them. They were not ashamed. Amen. They were not ashamed. Praise the Lord. Now listen, they weren't in there praising God legally. They were not there going, now, you know, we got to worship God now. We better worship God. No, 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 no. And they were not doing it because it was spiritual warfare. They weren't praising God going, oh, I praise you. I'll worship you. I'll glorify your name. Although I'm in this prison, I'll give you praise. That wasn't how they were worshiping God. And I need to tell you this. Don't begin to praise God like that. Oh, Pastor Craig, so I got to worship you because I'm going through this tough time. So I'll give you praise. You happy? I'll worship you. You happy? It's not the kind of praise I'm talking about. Not the kind of praise I'm talking about. You know what that tells me? I'm going to teach you this next week. That tells me you don't know your Heavenly Father. Let me ask you a question. How many have had employers in your life? How many of you had a personal relationship with your boss? Most of us probably didn't. So if your boss brought you in one afternoon and said, hey, I just want to spend some time with you, it'd be the most awkward conversation you've ever had. You know why? You don't know this fellow, man. All you know is, sir, good morning. Sir, good afternoon. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'll take care of that. You just know him on a professional level. You don't know him on a personal level. Many of us, when we begin to worship God and you feel sort of naked and embarrassed and awkward, it's because you don't know your Heavenly Father. Don't shut me down. You don't know him. And what I have learned, that 95% of the church world, I'm sorry that number is so high in my opinion, but it is. But if I were to begin to poll Christians and say, can you worship with me the next 30, 45 minutes? And you know what most of them say? Can we put on a CD? No. We're going to worship him out of our hearts. You know what most of them would say? I don't know about that, Pastor. But they would look at you like, there's something wrong with you. No, there's not. I know him. And when you know him, you spend time with him. You spend time with him. It's not an awkward conversation. It ain't, God, who are you? And God, why did you let this happen? And God, why is so-and-so talking about me? No, that's not what you talk about in that place. You talk about who he is and how he has changed you and how he is exchanging your weaknesses for his strength. Glory to God. But get this. They were praising God because they loved him. And they were worshiping him out of a pure heart. It so affected the other prisoners that none of them left when the doors flew open. Why? Paul caused revival. He brought revival. Through what? Through his praise and worship. People got born again. People began to see the real and true God. We may feel joyful, but Scripture tells us in Galatians 5:22 that the fruit of the Spirit is what? Joy. Well, there's love and joy, but that's one of the joy is a fruit of the Spirit. If we have a new nature, we have joy. We may not feel that joy. You may not feel like joy is bubbling up on the inside of you. But we can choose to lift our hands and speak forth our praises unto God by faith.
Amen.
Until we become established in it. Learning to praise God, even when everything is going bad, it'll change your heart. Let me tell you where most of your faith, you're having problem with your faith. It's not that you don't have faith. You have faith. You just haven't spent time building up your new nature. Let me ask you a question. How many have been to college? How many have gone and taken an exam and you weren't prepared for it? How did you feel? Oh, boy. Oh, Lord. That's your faith. That's people that have not spent time with God in their faith. They're not prepared. But you take someone that has spent time with God, you know how they go in the classroom? They got their chest stuck out. They see the A+ on their test before they even fill it out. They just max the thing. No, that's what we call it. They just ace the test. Why? Because they studied. When you begin to spend time with God, that's exactly how you will feel in every test, in every trial. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching now. Oh, I'm preaching now. That's exactly how you will begin to feel. And until you spend time with God to get that nature by spending time praying in the Holy Ghost to build yourself up, and then spend time with God through worship and learning who he is, and understanding what is love, how much he loves you, you'll always have a problem with your faith.
Amen.
Always. I know you didn't drive out here to hear that tonight, but I gave it to you for free. That ain't even in my notes. How many know a guy named Andrew Womack? Several years ago, probably 25 years ago, Andrew Womack received a message from his son that one of his sons had died. And his son had been dead for 5 hours when he got this information. Andrew Womack had to drive several miles to get to the hospital where the child's body was laid. Now, when Andrew got in his car, he didn't say this, God, why did you take my son? God, I'm serving you. I'm on the evangelistic field. I'm building disciples. I'm making disciples for you. I'm out here on the road for you. And you let my son die? That's not what he said.
Right.
You know what he said? Father, I thank you that you are the God that raises the dead.
Amen.
You're the God of heaven and earth. And I worship you, and I praise you, and magnify you, and glorify you. He took the responsibility to give God praise in one of the darkest hours of his life. You don't think he felt like going, I'm done. I said, I'm out of here. I'm finished with God. I'm done with God. No. But when he walked into that morgue, he knew I've been spending time with him. And I know him in the power of his resurrection. And when he walked into that morgue and he said these words, son, get up. You know what his son did? He just stood straight up naked. He sat up straight naked. With a tag on his toe.
Wow.
How does that happen?
Yeah.
Because we spend time with God to give him praise.
Amen.
And we begin to know who he is. Amen. We begin to tell our flesh to shut up.
Amen.
We begin to demand that our flesh is no longer going to dictate terms to us. Mm-hmm. When things are going bad, I'm not going to get in the place where I'm going to go, oh, I thought God loved me. I thought God appreciated. No, that's not the time to say that. Now is the time to go, I give you praise.
Yeah.
I worship you. You love me. You love me more than I loved you. Just show me how to love you some more.
Amen.
That's what God's looking for. And church, if we'll get there, we'll start seeing the dead raised, the blind to be healed, the sick will come off their sick bed every single time. Why? God wants to do it. We are the ones that are stopping it. We're the ones that's blocking the power from flowing out of us. Man, I'm not boasting on Dominion Training Center, but I will say this. If I could have found a place like this 20, 25 years ago, I have no idea where I would be. You can choose to say you're going to give God praise and rejoice in the Lord, but until you do, you will always have a victim mentality. We will never be victors until we quit being victims. And we have to get rid of the excuses and just do what the Word of God says. Give him praise. Go over to Philippians 4:6. Powerful scripture. In the light of worship, powerful scriptures. When I begin to meditate on these, I'm going, why didn't I see this 20 years ago? Be careful for nothing. That means don't be anxious. Don't have anxiety. Don't be overwhelmed with apprehension. Don't be overwhelmed with fear. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You might have problems, but you don't have to worry about them. You don't have to be careful about them. The word care the word care means to be overcome by anxieties and apprehension. Instead, you can go to the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving and make your requests made known unto him. So let's talk about bringing our request to God. Jesus demonstrated the right way to bring our request to God in what a technique I call the sandwich principle. If you'll look in Matthew 6:13, you'll see that Jesus began his prayer with praise and thanksgiving. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's worship.
Yeah.
At the very bottom, when he closed it out, he says, for thine is the kingdom, for thine is the glory, for thine is the power. That's worship.
Amen.
Instead of going and say, God, I need this. God, heal my body. God, remove this burden from me. Begin to give him praise first. And as you're giving God praise for several minutes, then begin to speak the word, I declare I'm healed. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I give you praise. I worship you. And then tail back off into worship again. Learn to get quiet before God. Learn to give God praise. And then tail off and get quiet and say, sometimes I'll lie in my bed and I'll just whisper, I just give you praise. Mm-hmm. I worship you.
Amen.
I magnify you. I love you with all of my heart. I love you more than life itself.
Amen.
I love you, sir. Oh, I love you. Amen. I'm falling in love with you.
Amen.
I love you the way I loved this woman over 30 years ago when I first time I saw her. Oh, I love you.
Amen.
Oh, God, I love you.
Amen.
Man, he, you know what he does?
Mm-hmm.
When I start talking like that,
mm-hmm.
he gets a little teary-eyed.
Mm-hmm.
Little teary-eyed. He pulls his beard and his ear real close to me and said, I like it.
Yeah.
Come on with it. Oh, he loves it when I talk like that to him.
Lord.
Well, how do you know? Because I know him.
Amen.
You don't know him like I know him.
Amen.
But I know him.
Amen.
And when you become a know him like that, that's how you'll speak about
Amen.
Him. So you won't judge him based upon what's going wrong in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You'll judge him based upon his word.
Amen.
The church for too long has judged God by the things that are going bad in their lives.
Right.
This is where we got this old stuff. Well, God took my sister. God took my mother.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't take them.
Mm-hmm.
If I get it right, Jesus wrote the devil's job description, and he wrote his. In John 10:10, he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job description. And then Jesus says, here's my job description, but I came to have life, to give life, and to have it more abundantly. That's his job description, the abundant life. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm doing real good. We will have a lot of tough circumstances in this life. And the world expects us to behave a certain way when trouble comes. But God told us to respond a different way. Going back to the beginning of our text tonight, he said, let your heart not be troubled. We get to choose. The devil doesn't choose. We get to choose. Now, in the past, we've let that turkey tell us what to do. Oh, my, it's so bad. Oh, my, it's just getting worse. Quit saying that and begin to say, God, you've made me a promise.
Amen.
Now, folks, I don't care what your past denomination affiliation is.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody, I've never heard anybody in any church world say that we are not supposed to worship God.
Mm.
But what we do is this. We water it down in praise and worship, and we think that's worship.
Mm-hmm.
That's not worship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God wants that kind of worship. That's a corporate anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. There's a powerful thing, a corporate anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants you to worship him behind closed doors.
Amen.
When nobody is looking.
Right.
When you ain't got a band playing behind you. When nobody's going, go, 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 go. And when your emotions are going, this is boring. This is just too laborious. This is not fun. I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what your emotions will tell you when you begin to worship God.
Amen.
But I can tell you this, if you can get past all that junk,
mm-hmm.
there's a secret, there's a dwelling,
mm-hmm.
there's a privacy that he will give you that you will feel you are the apple of his eye.
Amen.
Now, I'll say that to you. And I know you're the apple of his eye as well. But I proved it to myself. So you can't talk me out of it.
Amen.
Oh, come on, somebody. I have personally felt the benefit of worshiping and rejoicing in God I have seen it destroy the devil. He cannot stand it when I begin to worship God in spirit and in truth. I really believe that God inhabits the praises of his people, Psalms 22 and 3. God is so pleased when we look beyond the natural and see things in the light of faith. That blesses God. Praise is not the inevitable byproduct that comes when everything is going right in our lives. It is a driving force in the midst of chaos. Praise is a driving force in the midst of chaos. Praise will get our focus off of our problems and on to God.
Amen.
Where it belongs. If we start praising God in the middle of our problems, our problems will begin to shrink so much so that we'll hardly remember to bring them to God and ask him to fix them for us. What happens is this. As I give God praise, he sneaks behind my back, behind the scene, and he's got me over here worshiping God, and he's over here. Bam. Okay, let me go back over here and spend time with my son. And he's fixed my problem. He's fixed my problem. I don't have to bombard the gates of heaven. In fact, there are no bombarding the gates of heaven. You don't have to bombard the gates of heaven. You belong there.
Amen.
That's what the term spirit and truth means. You belong. You have been. That's a positional truth. You belong there.
Amen.
There's no fighting. But here's the problem. The devil doesn't want you to go there. So he'll fight you, let you think you're not there, but you're as much there as Jesus is.
Amen.
What did Paul say in Galatians? We have been seated. Maybe it's Ephesians. We have been seated. Ephesians 2. We've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where you belong. That's where you belong. And the more you worship him, the more it becomes a reality. The more I see myself in heaven more than I do on the earth. Oh, I do.
Wow.
I'm a citizen of heaven. I belong there more than I belong here.
That's right.
I'm an ambassador here.
That's it.
I'm here doing his work.
Amen.
That he wants done.
Amen.
And I'm going to do a good job.
Amen.
But am I glad to go home one day?
Amen.
I'm having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about it. I'm happy about it. I'm rejoicing about it. I love what I do. And he's, well, you know what, I'm going to share with you in the next couple of months what he's been sharing with me about this Bible study.
Oh, wow.
But listen, we're going to have to begin to grow, because when you hear some of these things, many of you will go, "Woo, I can't handle that, Pastor." It's because you're trying to handle it in your own strength.
Amen.
See, I'm going to say this, I'm trying to wind down. Do you know why people fall under the power of God?
Again?
Why people fall out under the power of God?
Mm-hmm.
It's because they get overwhelmed by that presence.
Mm-hmm.
But let me say this. If we would learn to quit trying to make that happen, mm-hmm. it'll begin to happen.
Amen.
See, it's authentic. And when the presence of God becomes so strong, it will overwhelm you. But just because you see people falling out under the power, that doesn't mean it's authentic. And so pastors get a bad name because people get hurt and man, nobody falls under his laying hands on him and da 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 da. So you get judged by how many people pass out in your presence. When that's got nothing to do with it at all.
Amen.
See, we're worshiping the wrong thing. Now, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I want to straighten out some things, some bad teaching in the church. But getting back to worship, it is time that all of us begin to set aside that time and dedicate ourselves to give God praise and worship if it's just 5 minutes a day. Because 5 minutes turn to 15. And once you break past 15, you'll be stretching for an hour. And once you get past an hour, here's what he's got me doing. I'll be praising him, and he'll say, "Now kick over into some tongues, son." And And I may do that for 15, 20 minutes. And he'll say, now make that confession of yours, what you're asking me for. And I'll confess that scripture. And then I'll be, next thing I know it, I'm back into praise. And before I know it, 2 hours have passed.
Amen.
My coffee gets cold when I go in to worship him.
Praise the Lord.
My $3 Starbucks coffee gets cold. Because he's got me in there worshiping him. I don't mind it. Now I got a little smart. I know how it works. So I give me a little sip when I start. And then I'll remind myself I got to sip on it again every 2 or 3 minutes. And then I can try to finish it. But man, there's times when he gets me, the coffee is cold. When I get back to the coffee, it's cold.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with that. I don't mind losing a cup of coffee over his presence.
Amen.
And what I'm trying to get you to understand is his presence is available for you.
That's right.
It's no longer something that you can only get into when you come to a corporate anointing. You can get into it in your the privacy of your own home.
Yes. Amen.
See, one thing he's asking me to do is to have a night of praise and worship.
Amen.
Where we come here on a Friday night. When you ain't got to go to work tomorrow,
yeah,
and we just spend about 2 or 3 hours giving him praise.
Hallelujah.
Now, let me tell you something now. Let me tell you something. Okay? It ain't going to be no, oh, girl, did you hear what happened today? Ain't going to have none of that. So when you come here, just know your cell phone goes off.
Amen.
You're locked in, and we worship in God.
Hallelujah.
And we ain't going to talk about your problems. We ain't going to talk about what's going on in the church. We ain't going to talk about sister so-and-so, but for 3 hours, I give you praise. I worship you. Now, if you can't hang and you got to leave, you can leave. But if I'm here by myself until midnight, it makes no difference to me. I could care less. See, I told you, if I tell you, many are going to go, ooh. 3 hours, Pastor? Well, okay. No, you can go for 30 minutes if you want to. I don't care. I'm just saying I'm going to be here to worship him. I pray you can come and see how a man, a born-again, spirit-filled man, full of God, can worship the Father for 3 hours,
Amen.
4 hours, and not get tired.
Amen.
Now, I may not be as loud. You may hear me. I just give you praise. I worship you. I may get kind of, I glorify you.
Amen.
You may think, oh, Pastor, getting tired. Oh, no, no, no. No, he and I, we got some private stuff to talk about. He wants me to calm down a little bit because that anointing has been flowing on me. He just wants me to settle down a little bit and let me receive some things. And I get quiet.
Amen.
I love you. I worship you. I magnify Amen. You. And before you know it, I give you praise. I get excited again, man. That way it hits me again, man. And I just go. My worship is just sporadic. It's off the top. It's nothing you've ever seen. And I know the very moment I stop, the very moment I start, I'm in his presence.
Amen.
There ain't no working myself into his presence. The very moment I said, I or he goes, hello, you. How you doing? Glad you could come by today. There ain't no, well, I got to work up and get in his presence. I got to get in. No, that's bad teaching. The moment I say I give you praise, he's like, I'm here. Because it is a positional truth,
Amen.
And that's where you belong. Jesus bore that place for you. Do you remember? I got to stop, though. Do you remember when he says, in my Father's house are many mansions?
Yeah.
That's the place he went and made for you. Mm. Now, you got a mansion. Don't get mad at me now. You got a mansion.
Yeah.
But you belong in his presence. That's the place that he made for you.
Amen.
And if Jesus made that place for you, you ain't got to work your way in there. All you got to do is just go there. Because you belong there.
Amen.
That's what your new birth is all about. Now, what I'm going to teach you next week is you got to begin to start being taught things about spirit, soul, and body. You got to know that you are spirit. Yeah, my body will be in this room when I'm worshiping God. But that don't mean my spirit is.
Amen.
I'm in heaven.
Amen.
I'm more in heaven than I am in the earth.
Glory.
You know, how many have heard this saying? You're so spiritually minded, you're no earthly good.
I've heard it.
Lie from the pit of hell. And I've heard some big name pastors say that. I pray you become so spiritually minded. I pray you get that way.
Amen.
You pray you get that way. Okay? That's like somebody once told me, if you pray in tongues too much, you'll go crazy. Lie from the pit of hell. See, I don't know where all this stuff comes from. But you're right, amen. But it comes from people that are trying to teach you because they are having struggles in their own lives. And instead of them going to God and letting God give them the answer, they're just conjuring it up out of their own mind.
That's right.
We've got to change that. Do you know who, what's his name? Who is one of the great Muslim guy? He started the huh? No. Well, Farrakhan too. Do you know Farrakhan was first went to the Baptist church and couldn't find the power, and so he became a Muslim. But Gandhi, he said this. He said, I met a Christian is the reason why I didn't want to be one.
Wow.
See, the thing is that we got to quit doing this, church.
Wow.
We don't understand who we are. We got to learn who we are, but you can't learn who he is just by going to church once a week. You learn who he is when you spend time with him. If anything you learn from Dominion Training Center is one thing, fellowship, spend time with God.
Amen.
Learn how to do that. Spend time praying in the Spirit. Spend time meditating and assimilating. Spend time in confessing God's word. Spend time fasting. And most of all, spend time, well, not most of all, but spend time giving God praise
Amen.
And worship.
Amen.
Fellowship with him.
Amen.
That is really the essence of Christianity is fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we're going to talk about how many Christians think because they give I'll say it right. Because you give, you think that makes you a sold-out Christian. God's not into your giving.
Amen.
He's into your fellowship.
Amen.
Now, he wants you to work in the church. He wants you to give. He wants you to be dedicated. He wants all those things. But first and foremost, he wants your fellowship.
Amen.
He wants your fellowship. He doesn't care how big your Bible is, how loud, how spiritually correct your screensaver is. He doesn't care whether or not you got any of those things going on. What he's concerned about is, do you spend time with me,
Amen.
And do you know who I am? And the way he tells you who you are,
mm-hmm.
is when you go through testing and trials and you can't count it all joy.
Mm, go ahead.
I don't mean to get ugly with you.
Yes.
Father, we give you praise for tonight.
Glory.
We glorify and magnify your name.
Yes,
Father, we thank you. We give you praise that this word is going to produce a 100-fold return. We bind the strong man from taking the word from us in Jesus' name. Let this word be heard several times and begin to multiply hearts and change people's lives. Father, we thank you for the food that we're about to receive, sanctified for the nourishment of our bodies. We thank you that you blessed our bread and our water, and you've taken every sickness, including the flu, from the midst of us. Father, we ask you to bless their giving tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.